This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Text for consideration today is recorded for us in the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. We hear these words from verse 35. And a voice came out from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." God's word is truth. Amen. On Transfiguration Sunday, we recall the day when Jesus had the complexion of the sun itself, and his clothes shining bright as lightning before a few men on a mountain. It was certainly a mountaintop experience, a moment one never forgets. And from here, Jesus comes down the mountain, and in about 6 months' time, the cross comes. He goes to Jerusalem to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and it is his blood shed on the cross that saves us from eternal damnation. And when we think of Jesus up on this mountaintop, our first thought might be, oh, this is just a conference of holy men with Jesus. But we must understand something. These five men are not too different than us. Our lives are interwoven. Why they are there is the same reason why we are here before the Word and in worship. Peter, James, and John go with Jesus up this mountain for prayer, to reach out to the Almighty. And they need this, and they need to overhear the plan of salvation that Jesus is about to bring from the lips of Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. They need to see the glory of the Lord, this cloud, envelop them and tell them exactly who this Jesus is and what we are to do with him. But who are we? Who are we to be here today, sitting in these pews, listening to these words? I'll tell you who we are. We are sinners gathering around the Savior, the same as those men so long ago. When I say Moses, chances are you might think of the man who went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go," and brought plague after plague after plague. Gnats, frogs, boils, darkness, hail, the angel of death, killing the firstborn of those who were not spared because they did not put the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. He's a man who split the Red Sea with a staff. And that is the Moses that we know and admire. But earlier in his life, he was a man who took justice in his own hands. He killed a man who was beating up another and buried him in the sand. And the next day, he sees another fight and he speaks up. Who knows if he's going to kill again? And when he's approached on his vigilante justice, he flees for 40 years. He is a murderer and a runaway. Yet God calls and equips him to serve, and Moses serves the Lord. Moses is a sinner in need of a Savior. He is in need of Jesus, and Jesus died for his sins. I don't know if you've ever killed a man, but hatred is common enough of a sin to plague our souls. And Moses ran away instead of facing justice. I don't know if you've ever run away from facing justice, have you? If either or both speak of you, you, just like Moses, need a Savior too. Elijah was bold in the Lord, and Mount Transfiguration was not his first mountaintop experience. After years of attempting to lead people to repentance, a showdown takes place on the top of Mount Carmel. God, Elijah, and an altar on one side, 450 prophets of Baal and an altar to Baal on the other side. And God shows himself to be the Lord. He sends fire from heaven to burn the sacrifice and the altar itself. Baal, a false god, does nothing. The people shout, "The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God," and they put the 450 prophets of Baal to death. But Jezebel, the queen, makes death threats to Elijah. And Elijah runs. And after this great victory, he runs out into the desert and begs God to take his life. God appears to him, comforts and encourages him. God equips him for ministry. And Elijah, He actually does. He goes back and he serves the Lord. Think of this. There was a great victory in the Lord before thousands. And yet Elijah, he runs at the voice of one who wants to take his life. And it leads him into such despair that he wants God to end his life. And I don't know if you've ever asked God to end it all because of a bully or heavy circumstances in your life, a time when God's plan was so elusive that you desired death, a time when you doubted God. If so, you, like Elijah, need a Savior too. And what could be said of Peter? Peter, who claimed, "You are the Christ, the Son of God," would deny even knowing Jesus on the night Jesus was captured. And we can sing so strong within these walls that Jesus is Lord, but might deny even knowing him in the world outside these walls. If so, you, just like Peter, need a Savior too. And James and John are on that mountain. And after this, they beg for positions of greatness. And Jesus tells them to lead by serving. And they were not too keen on that. We too struggle with selfishness and desire greatness. And when humility is lacking, know that you, just like James and John, need a Savior too. And we gather around Jesus like these men because sinners gather around Jesus, the Savior. And Moses and Elijah speak about his upcoming death and resurrection. And they are ready for it. Peter, James, and John are not. And they want to see Jesus in all of his majesty, to see him sparkle like the sun, not a horrific, gory Savior, but a glorified Savior. And at this moment, the Almighty Lord, in the form of a cloud, like many times before, he makes his presence known. And the Almighty Lord speaks, "This is my Son, my chosen one, listen to him." And though the theophany dissipates, Peter, James, and John want to stay. And we do too. And yet Jesus leads Peter, James, and John down this mountain because sinners need the Savior. And Jesus needs to save us from hatred and self-loathing, from hiding our Savior, and from ego, and frankly, every other sin that takes place under the sun. And to do that, Jesus must go. He must be betrayed by Judas. He must be put into the custody of the high priest, of Pontius Pilate and Herod. He must be mocked by men, abandoned by God. He must spill his blood on the cross and die there for my sin, for your sin, for every sinner who gathers around the Savior. And while darkness descends on the earth in midday on Good Friday, and the light of his life is snuffed out, it is there that the weight of the sins of the world dissipate to nothingness. And Easter doesn't come without Good Friday. The resurrection of Jesus and the joy of those who believe in Jesus as their Savior comes at great price. And if Jesus paid it, which he did, then that changes everything. That means Moses and Elijah, their sins are forgiven. Peter, James, and John, their sins are forgiven. You are forgiven. We are forgiven. I am forgiven. And that's all because of this journey of Jesus. And listen to Jesus, the Son of God. And hear how he saved our souls. Let us live forgiven and equipped for service. Like Moses and Elijah, let the Lord give us purpose and equip us for what needs to take place. Like Peter, James, and John, let us follow Jesus and serve the one who saved us. Amen. And now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Amen.